Brad has requested we read from Malachi chapter 4, 1 to 6. I believe we're going to hear a message about families tonight, and it is by far my favorite subject. And when I was a little boy, I remember Merle preaching many sermons about the family. I will forever remember those sermons. And it's just so encouraging to see the children in this congregation. I've said this a couple of times, and we hear it a lot. There's a lot of good families here, and we appreciate the children. And while being a father sometimes can be frustrating, it is also my favorite job by a long shot. I love having children, and I hope that every father here can say that. And I'll just say this as encouragement to fathers. Teach your children to accept the embrace of a father physically. And I think as you get older, you understand the importance of that. Malachi chapter 4, 1 to 6. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. For all who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Thank you, Brother Andy, for the prayer, for leading us into the subject of the evening a bit. Importance of families. I think so far this message is more of a burden on my heart than any of the message I've shared thus far. We're sort of starting to wind down our week of meetings in a sense, so we have more sermons down than what we have to look forward to. But as I think about the subject of the sermon tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night, I feel like those subjects are very important and very urgent. Let's stand. We'll sing our theme song at this time. Should have it in your hymn rack there. Tonight we'll sing verses 2 and 4. How do we keep our children in the faith? You could also say, how do we keep our children in the church? And I think that is important. But even more important, how do we keep our children in the faith? How much do we as parents have to do with whether our children remain faithful to God? And that's a question I thought about 20 years ago, and I've thought about it since then, and I don't have all the answers. I have very few answers. We're going to think about some thoughts tonight. We're going to look a little bit about what God's Word has to say about child training. I have to think about something that I saw documented. And I've seen this happen different times. Children growing up in the church and leaving. I don't remember it. I'm not sure if I was there. But in 1980, there was a two-week revival at Upper Conewago Congregation. Brother Roy Hallbaker was there, at least according to the yearbook, when I checked the statistics. About 2 weeks after that revival meeting, there was 14 applicants for baptism. 12 out of the 14 were youth from the congregation that, in my estimation, 8 to 14 years of age. And none of those are members at Upper Conewaug any longer. I'm not sure how many of those attend services. There was two that were first-time commitments, a married couple. They're still there. What can we do as parents to make it that to help our children not to be in statistics such as that? And I'm not here tonight to beat up parents of children that possibly turned away from God or chose a different religious circle than what we're accustomed to, but just try to heighten the awareness of the great responsibility that we as parents have. Some things are pretty basic that we can do, and we know those things. It is important that we have our children at church services, and I want to commend the families this past week for bringing your children and making the sacrifice. Keeping children in a service is not easy. I know from experience. My wife's finding out she's having to take care of the children this week by herself. And we can have family devotions like we talked about last evening. But you know, we can do all those things and still not have the heart of our children. And I've had this passage read for verse 6, which I'm sure most of you have figured out by now. What does it mean to have the hearts of a child? What does it mean to have a child's heart? Parents here tonight, how many of you would like to have your child's heart? And I think we would all raise our hand and say, yes, that's what we would like to have. We would like to see. And I feel positive that there's some parents, many parents here tonight that have the hearts of their children. But you know, we can take our children to church, we can have family devotions, and still not have the heart of our children. This verse 6 talks about the hearts of fathers being turned to the children, and then the hearts of children being turned toward the fathers. Proverbs 22, verse 6, a very familiar verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The heart is the center not only of spiritual activity, but of all the operations of human life. I think it's interesting in verse 6 here, talks about the hearts of the fathers being turned toward the children. And then it says the hearts of the children being turned to the father. Is that coincidental that the part about the hearts of the father being turned to the children is listed before the hearts of the children being turned to the father? I think not. Fathers, mothers, I think if we want to have our children's heart, our hearts have to be turned toward them. We're going to try tonight to look at some practical things that we can do as parents to have our children's hearts turned toward us. Some ways that we can turn our hearts toward our children. What does it mean when a child's heart, when we have a child's heart, when the hearts of the children are turned toward us as parents? And I guess maybe this is a perfect world scenario. But if the hearts of our children are really turned toward us as parents, who are they going to come to when they face a major decision? For those of us that have daughters, when a young man asks them out on a date, are they going to come to us and ask our opinion? Ask for our blessing? Or are they going to sneak off and secretly go with someone that the parents would rather they not? You know, if we really have the hearts of our children, we have the whole package. Our children are going to ask us questions about the Bible when they have their private devotions. Our children are going to ask us challenging questions that are very hard to answer. Like my daughter recently asked me, so if we believe we're supposed to obey the law, how come we drive over the speed limit? And at the door tonight, I'm looking for some answers to that question. And there's times when I'm asked questions, and I'm not trying to insinuate that I have this all together, that my children's hearts are turned toward me. But my children ask me questions where I don't really feel like answering. But I am glad that they ask me those questions. And as we think about this thought, this subject, I want you to remember four letters. S-T-M-P. Now that won't be too difficult to remember if you just think about those four minus the M, because S-T-P is a name that we're all familiar with. STP has fuel additive, oil additive. It's a brand name that we recognize. Just put the M in there, STMP. So what that STMP stands for, ST stands for spend time. How much time spent with your child is enough? All that you have. As a father, as a husband, as a full-time employee, you probably don't have enough time. But you know, we can be creative. We can involve our children in some of our activities. When children are young, at least my children, they love to tag along with dad and go different places with him. And when it comes to putting children in a car seat, taking them out of a car seat, it takes time. It takes effort. There's times when a 3-minute trip to the hardware store takes a whole lot longer because you take one of your children with you. But is that really important? If it is important, you'll make the sacrifice and take them along. Time is precious. Time is limited. When you have small children in your home, is that the time to be going on week-long hunting trips? Is that the time to be doing activities that take you out of the home a night or two a week as a father and as a husband? I don't want to pick on the fathers only. You know, wives, mothers can also have hobbies, side jobs that can invade on family time. And I understand, I know that there's times when mom and dad need time out. They might need a night away. But I don't feel that should be routine. Our children need us when they're young. And when they're old. But I doubt if there's a father and a mother here whose children are gone that would say, you know, I really spent too much time with my children when I was young. You know, I wish I would have been out. You know, I wish I would have been playing softball two nights a week. I wish I would have been hanging out with the guys instead of home with my wife and my family. As a young man, I enjoyed skiing. Brother Andy that was up here with me, he was one of my skiing buddies. We had time to ski. When our children came along, skiing did not seem quite as important. I remember, I think, one time that I left my wife and daughter home and went skiing. I did not have a very good time skiing that night. I think I realized that, yeah, it's not the time in my life to be away from my wife and my family just so I could go out and ride up a hill and slide down. Now recently, my children are old enough that, yeah, now's the time to ski. I can take my children along with me. We can have some family time together, although it's not a perfect scenario because I have two little ones that my wife has to stay home with. So it's, yeah, we have to keep that a little bit in check and not get too carried away. Spending time. Some of my fondest memories are spending time with my father. And I'm sure there were times when I was with him that I got into trouble, and he was probably maybe almost wishing I wouldn't have been with him. And some of the activities that I went with him were probably preparation for ministry. As long as I can remember, my father was a minister, and my father would often, at least it seemed often to me, go on visitation, hospitals, homes. And I often went with him, maybe always. I got some training on how to do visitation to the elderly, to those at the brother home. And as a side benefit, I could usually talk him into stopping for a milkshake on the way home. But that was special memories with my father. I guess I say that to say you can make special memories with your children when you're doing activities that are not all entertainment and pleasure. You can include your children in a variety of activities that you engage yourself in. Now, on the flip side of that, I think it's important that we don't always try to push our children to do our agenda. It can be kind of a little bit of conflict sometimes in our home when I decide I want to take the children on a bike ride, and some of them are jumping on their bikes ready to go, and then other ones would care not to ride bike. There's a little bit of friction there sometimes. So every once in a while, maybe routinely, engage yourself in the activities that your children would like to do. John Adams, I think it was John Adams, one of our past first, second president, the story is told, he took his child fishing for the day. And he wrote in his journal, "I spent the day fishing with my child, a day wasted." But his child wrote in his journal, "I spent the day fishing with Dad, what a wonderful day." As parents, we need to sacrifice of our time and our desires to do what our children desire. We need to spend time with them. So we looked at the ST. Now we're going to look at the MP. The MP is make priority. And this runs parallel to spending time. It runs parallel with spending time doing things your children desire to do. Making your children priority. I'm confident that children can tell if they are a priority in the lives of a parent. They know if we are genuinely interested in their well-being or if we are only too eager to dump them off at the babysitter's and just have a little peace and quiet and be away from the obligation and the burden of children. I'm not saying that couples should not have a date night where they have a babysitter with the children on occasion, but I feel that very often we should be able to spend time with our children, our families, do family activities, enjoy what God has blessed us with. Because yes, they're only here for a season. It wasn't all that long ago I had a little girl, and now I have a big girl. It wasn't all that long ago that I watched my little girl at my sister's wedding. And I said, someday I could be walking her down the aisle. You know, we're a whole lot closer to that reality now. Are you more concerned about your agenda or how you can build a relationship with your small children or your older children? Making your children priority. You know, for me, I don't think I ever doubted that that I was, whether I was priority with my parents. Because I saw my parents sacrifice. I saw my parents spend money on home education when there were times where, yeah, there wasn't much extra money to be had. I saw the sacrifice that they made, and I knew that I was priority to them. I remember in particular one incident that I'll share tonight of a way that my father left me know that what I was scheduled to engage in that evening, he was disappointed in. We're getting ready to go one night, and I was kind of a young person that would, wasn't always telling my dad exactly what we were doing, where we were going, unless I was asked. And that night, we were headed to the York Fair. And he said to me, he said, "Are you going to a concert?" "Yeah." And I told him the name of the group we were going to hear, and the look on his face was, he wasn't too happy, wasn't too thrilled. He probably could have said, "Bradley, you're not going to that concert. You're staying right home tonight." And probably if he would have done that, it would have spoke less to me than the response that he made. Now, I understand all children don't operate the same way and think the same way. But for me, that was a realization that, yes, my father did definitely care about how I conducted myself and where I went. Making your children priority. Now, maybe you're here tonight, your children are not in the home anymore. They're married. They're out on their own. But you can still make your children priority. You can still spend time with your children. You know, we have a lot of ways of communicating nowadays. We can send our child a text message, give them a telephone call. Of course, grandmas can help out with grandchildren. And I have to think about my late father-in-law. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt that to him, the well-being of his children was priority. And if one of his children needed something, you could count on it that he would be available. If you were going to the airport to get a flight and you needed transportation, pretty much seemed a given that he could arrange his schedule that he would be able to take you. And I remember about a year ago, he was concerned about his children with this virus. And he was talking to my wife, his daughter, and, "Do we need anything? Do we need anything?" And I firmly believe that if my wife would have told him we were out of toilet paper, that he would have loaded up some of his toilet paper and brought it to us in Maine. Because that's how much he cared for his children. Do our children know that they are priority in our lives? Do they know that our hearts are turned toward them? And in turn, their hearts will be turned toward us. So we looked at STMP, spending time, making children priority. What about hindrances? What for hindrances are there that we can, things that we can do to be hindrances to our children being faithful to God, staying in the faith? Two verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." These two verses are speaking specifically of training children. And these two verses both speak on doing something to your child that provokes them. That, to me, that's not saying that you discipline your child, you tell your child no, and they get disturbed. To me, this is a different category. This is a failure on our part as a parent that creates tension with our children and causes them to be discouraged. It says, provoking your children to wrath, doing something that irritates them in a way that they become angry, and possibly become angry at God. As I studied for this message, I was thinking about biblical examples that show what good parenting is like. And if you know some, I'd like to hear about them after the service. I struggled to find many biblical examples of families that there was good parenting displayed. I did think about Noah. You know, Noah had three sons. And when he entered the ark, it was only those three sons that entered the ark with him. Now, his sons' families were also involved, but they were the only ones. To me, that did speak loud and clear of what kind of a father Noah was. Because the peer pressure to remain behind would have been pretty strong. They had to trust their father. They had to have faith that their father was making the right decision. They had to have a good relationship with their father to enter in that boat. I thought about Isaac. I think Isaac is a good example of improper parenting. Whether we can blame that totally on his wife, instigating the conflict between Isaac and Jacob. We have David, who his sons ended up being against each other. I really think it was a result of sin in David's life with Bathsheba. With Joshua, Joshua did say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Apparently, Joshua had a desire to teach and train his children, to lead him in the paths and the ways everlasting. Hindrances to our children embracing our Heavenly Father. When we tell our children not to do something, is it because that what they're doing is disobedience? Or is it because that what they're doing irritates us, something about it we don't like, and so we make a big deal out of something that is not really, really disobedience, perhaps is not something that should even be punished for. But because of our selfish motives, we choose to be a tyrant and demand things to be exactly our way. Now, I firmly believe that parents, that we as parents, can do the best that we are capable of with our children, and they still make a choice to walk away from God. Because for children, for each of us, serving God has to be real for us. We can't force religion on our children. We can't compel them to embrace Jesus Christ as a path to the Heavenly Father. You know, our children need to be taken to church. Our children need to be forced to do some things, many things that they don't want to do. They need to be taught to obey. They need to be punished for disobedience. Some things children need to be made to do because it is good for them. They need to be taught to work. And our children need to know that they are important to each one of us. You know, I've heard it said, and I firmly believe, that when we are finished disciplining our children, instead of running from us, they should run toward us. But I testify, it does not always happen in our family. And if you as a parent feel at times like you don't know what to do, you're not alone. I felt like that. There have been times when I was punishing one of the children, stopped and prayed out loud. There does seem to be power in praying out loud with a child who is disobedient and showing a rebellious spirit. When our hearts are turned toward our children with this STMP, the spending time and making priority, most times, I believe, a children's heart will be turned toward their parents. And in turn, turned toward God, our Heavenly Father. What do our children see? Will our children be able to say, when they get older, they're my parents? Will they be not proud, but will they be glad to say who their parents are? Or will they say with reluctance, they're my parents? What do our children see? Do our children see us as parents spending time reading the Bible? Do they witness that? Do they hear us talking about answers to prayer? Do they hear us talking about spiritual insights that we may have received? Can we talk to our children when they get older on a spiritual level? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." You know, if we really desire to see our children follow after God, make sure we have their hearts. And like the verse in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 says, before we can have their hearts, our hearts must be turned toward them. We need to show them and make sure they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are a priority in our lives, and show them by the time we spend with them that they are a priority in our lives. If we truly have the hearts of our children's hearts will turn toward us. This is not a guarantee path to success for raising godly children. But this spend time, make priority will go a long way in having children that respect and honor their parents. It will go a long way into building relationships with our children. Relationships that will show that our children love and respect each one of us. I want to thank you for your attention this evening. I want to challenge each one of you as parents, as grandparents, to go the extra mile, to do what it takes to maintain those relationships and to build relationships with your children. It's a challenge for me. It's something that, I don't do real well at. It's something I need to work toward. But it's something that's worthwhile. What's more worthwhile? Time spent with our children? Or time spent making a little extra money so we can buy our children some fancy gifts? You know, time is precious. As a father and a husband, the demands are great. And it can be easy to fall into the mentality of, I need to make money, support my family, get ahead financially. Well, let's step back and focus on what is really important, what God desires, that our hearts as mothers and fathers are turned toward our children. We are going to sing a hymn of invitation this evening. Tonight the invitation will be For anyone that's here, as a father, as a mother, who realizes that they need to get on target with this spending time and making their children priority. If there's someone here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, the invitation goes out. As we sing a hymn invitation, if God is speaking to your heart and to your life, I encourage you to stand or come forward as we sing from hymn number
375.
In the black hymnal, number 375.